Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Ian Kinsler at the plate, Dave Fleming with the call.
Kinsler hits a high, deep drive to center field. Hernandez is back at the wall. He'll jump up, and it's gone. Ian Kinsler has gone deep, and a two-run home run has given the United States a 2-0 lead.
And that just set the tone for an 8-0 win for the United States last night in the World Baseball Classic, the U.S.'s first ever World Baseball Classic title. Marcus Stroman was the MVP. Six no-hit innings to set the tone last night, backed up by the hitting of guys like Ian Kinsler. All right. For the first time ever, the Penn State men's ice hockey team will participate in the NCAA hockey tournament. Brian Tripp is the voice of the Nittany Lions, joins us now. Brian, they just went through in 72 hours a three-game 13-period odyssey. What was it like to witness it and see it happen?
Yeah, Steve, I think each game, and you talk about this a lot, but I truly think with the stakes, each game had its own personality going into the tournament. You knew Penn State needed to win at least one game to have a possible chance at an NCAA tournament berth. So the game against Michigan on Thursday, I think Penn State realized that there was a ton at stake in that game. They came out, they scored early, and once they got control of the game early, you felt pretty good about the way things were going. And to get contributions from top to bottom in that game, Peyton Jones played really well in Thursday night's game. Little did we know that he would even exceed expectations on Friday and Saturday further. But that game, there was some pressure on Penn State to get the job done to secure a berth in the NCAA tournament, and they came out and got the job done. You go into Friday then, in the semifinal against Minnesota, and you realize, okay, you're probably in the NCAA tournament at that time, but let's see if maybe you can beat Minnesota for the first time this year and erase any doubt that you're heading to this weekend's action, and Penn State ultimately ending up in Cincinnati. But with Minnesota, you're thinking, here's an opportunity for the team to do something special and maybe pick up a signature win, get to the Big Ten tournament championship game for the first time in program history. And I think they played a little loose on Friday. They realized that, hey, they're the four seed. They're not expected to knock off the number one seed. Very rarely does a team that has to play on the first day of the tournament win the championship, let alone even make the championship game. So I think they went into that game very confident. They realized they were close against Minnesota a couple of times this year, and they played extremely well. I think that was probably the best game they played over the course of the entire season. And then you're just so exhausted after that game, 93 minutes on Friday. Mm-hmm. Not only 93 minutes, it's the late game too, Steve. So Wisconsin played 60 minutes against Ohio State. They were the early game. You're wondering, does Penn State have anything left in the tank? And Saturday, you have a chance to win the championship. Penn State certainly wanted to win the championship, and they got the job done. If you told me going into the game, you just had Penn State and Wisconsin on paper playing a one-game series, you erased that Penn State had played 93 minutes the night before, I think Penn State's the better team. I thought Penn State would beat Wisconsin, but considering that Penn State had already played two games and a double overtime game, I think that probably neutralized the field a bit, and they still were able to find a way to get it done.
The fact that they either spent the vast majority of time in the lead or tied, they weren't playing from behind, what did that do for their mentality?
Yeah, that's huge, especially against a team like Wisconsin on Saturday. We watched Wisconsin play Ohio State on Friday, and Ohio State's a tremendous offensive team, really gifted. They have guys that can go up and down the ice, and once Wisconsin got the lead, they shut Ohio State down like no team I've seen before this season. So you wanted to play with the lead against them. And for Penn State, I think especially Thursday, too, against Michigan, here's a team that just swept you. two times 7 days earlier in the last series of the regular season. You don't want to allow their goalie to start to get off on a roll, get off to that good start, and allow his confidence to grow. So I think that helped the team's confidence. And then playing with the lead, it allows you to do so much more offensively. You don't have to take chances. It gives you the confidence to play your system, your habits. And after the tournament, all the players, the coaches talked about playing Penn State hockey, and that's playing to their identity. There are times this year where they've gotten behind or a little bit out of sync, and they've tried to hit home runs. They've tried to make maybe the extra pass when they shouldn't, the fancy play when they shouldn't, and they didn't do any of that for the entire tournament. And I think it's probably some justification to the message that Guy Gadowski's been sending all year long. If you play your game, you can beat anyone.
When it was finally over, there's obviously relief. Flying back the next day, that's when you see fatigue. How tired did they look?
Yeah, they were tired. There's no question about it. They looked tired. They looked exhausted. They looked exhausted, I thought, when you got to the third period on Saturday night against Wisconsin. They were outshot 18-5, and we were talking on the broadcast. All you have to do is get into the locker room and get to overtime by the time the third period ended, then hope to pick up a little energy to start the overtime. Then when the first overtime was winding down, we were saying on the broadcast, okay, get into the locker room and maybe score in the first 5 minutes of the second overtime, and when it took, what, a little over 6 minutes.
Right.
So we thought those little bursts would really help them, give them that extra fuel going into the locker room. Not that they could sustain it for 20 minutes, but do it pretty well. But then Sunday, Monday at practice, they just went out and skated a little bit. They gave these guys off all week, and for the most part until Wednesday, where they really started to ramp things back up. And I thought it was big, Steve, too. They could have played in a regional that started Friday, Saturday, as opposed to Saturday, Sunday.
Right, they got Saturday.
He plays
Saturday.
In Cincinnati, they got Saturday. No, I think that was really big.
Yeah, really huge. Not only that, it's not somebody they're completely unfamiliar with. Now, the young players, they would be, but it's Union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a different team. Certainly, Shane Gostisbehere was a big part of the team in 2014. Union didn't make the NCAA tournament the last 2 years.
Right.
But Guy Gadowski knows their systems, their structure. They have a great offense. They're led by Spencer Fu and Mike Vecchione, two of the top players in college hockey. They were playing on the same line earlier this year, and they've actually split them up to try to get more scoring depth. It's a really good team. I think it's nice that you've seen the opponent before and you have a little tape on them. I'm not sure you can read too much into it, but this time of year, everyone's really good. You know they're going to be good.
You can't win this thing unless it's backstopped. What did you see in Peyton Jones over a 72-hour span?
Confidence, poise, athleticism, guy who was ready to step up in a big moment and play the best game of his career, and he did that. I thought Friday night was the best game of his career, and then he one-upped it on Saturday night. There were times during the game where the team would not have won if Peyton did not make a big save, and Peyton made every big stop. You knew he had it in him, Steve. It was just a matter of when he was going to show that he could steal a game for you, and I think he did steal both games on Friday and Saturday night for his team.
I thought Sturts and I thought Eric Audio, I thought played terrific. Every time I turned around, it looked like they were in some sort of play. Yeah, I mean, may not have scored, but they were in some sort of play.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Eric Audio especially, I think he's overshadowed sometimes by Vince Petry and Trevor Hamilton with the gaudy offensive numbers they put up. But Audio's ability to move the puck offensively is second to none in all of college hockey. And then, additionally, his ability defensively, he just gets in front of everyone. He breaks up any rush. He had to hustle back, dive to break up a potential breakout for
That was a great play.
I mean, how do you do that? You're in double overtime. How do you get back and make that play? I mean, he's a tremendous, tremendous player. I think you saw it from top to bottom. You don't win a tournament like that unless you're getting contributions from all four lines, all three defensive pairings. Alec Marsh, I thought, played really well in overtime on Saturday. The contribution, Dylan Richard, his back checks during that game. Penn State, for the most part, had Nikita Pavlichev's line with DeRosa and Robinson, and then Richard with Liam Foulkes and Brandon Biro out there against Wisconsin's top scoring units and Minnesota's top scoring units. And I thought those two lines were unbelievable playing defensively.
You can tell when you're around a team enough when they're content with what they've done or whether they're still hungry and it's not enough. What do you sense with this team?
I think they're still hungry. I think they realize they can beat anyone on any given night. I think there is a sense of pride in what they've accomplished. But they're ready to get back to work this week, doing a couple of interviews for Penn State's website this week. They were excited that they won the Big Ten championship, but by the time Monday afternoon rolled around, they're already talking about doing something special in this tournament. They have all the momentum right now. All the teams do this time of year. You don't get to this time of year without having success down the home stretch. But I think they feel really good about the way they're playing, and there's no stopping them right now.
Well, you know what? I always say that you get one chance, and you always have to treat it as one chance. You just never know.
Yeah. No, you don't.
You might as well take advantage of it while you're there.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. The team, look, on paper, it looks like they're going to be absolutely stacked next year. They lose David Goodwin, Dylan Richard, they're great players, and who knows if someone turns pro or not. But it looks like next year they're absolutely stacked, but there are no guarantees in sports. Injuries, anything could happen. There are no guarantees. I think Guy Gadowski's preached that message to them a couple times already. They look ready to go, Steve. I'm feeling pretty confident that they'll go there and play a good hockey game. Not sure. It's hockey. You don't know if you're going to win or not. Goalies, bounces, referees. I think they can win the game on Saturday and see what happens then if they get Denver on Sunday, which is the favorite to win the whole thing.
You know what? That's why you play. Let's have some fun. I think this one of the more exciting things to happen, to see this happen in 5 years, to be an expansion team with a blank piece of paper. All right, we need some forwards.
Wants to play?
Okay. Well, we need some defensive forwards and a couple of goalies. Let's start. All right. This is one of the great stories in collegiate sports, that in 5 years that – a head coach, who will give credit to everybody else, but a head coach sits there with a blank piece of paper and in 5 years has his team in the NCAA tournament as the 9 overall seed.
Yeah, we joke about, guys there. You're just looking for guys to play. But he had a plan. He has a plan for everything. He understands every detail of the sport, every detail of the team, and he knew each year exactly what they needed to succeed.
Amazing. What a job he's done, and he's the last person that will ever take credit for it. All right.
You got that right.
Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Awesome job on the golden goal. We've played it back a couple of times. Look forward to your next great call coming up this weekend.
Thanks, Steve, and hopefully we can do it at the end of regulation as opposed to double overtime.
Oh, now we're putting in requests.
How about the Penn State baseball game goes extra innings then on Tuesday night?
So I know.
Come on, I don't think I'm getting overtime fair.
It's unbelievable. Look, if the blue-white game goes overtime, then there's an issue. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
See you, buddy.
Brian Tripp, the play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lion men's ice hockey team, playing in their first ever NCAA tournament this weekend. Wow. Good for them. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. First time ever. The ratings are out for the NCAA Wrestling Championship, and it was a good year. A really good year. They're best in 4 years, as a matter of fact. Now, there's a kind of a skewed press release that's a bit odd about this, that you have to read into it a little bit to really know. They talk about in here, $8.6 million views of the championship and so forth. Like, wow, $8.6. But that's, for example, how many times did Penn State wrestle? 32, 33 times? Whatever the number is. Well, that'd be you, for example, wanting to see every Penn State match and then clicking in. Well, it counts as 34 every time you do it, to go with views and things like that. So let's go with the tried and true method of what was the TV rating on the broadcast. And I took my guess at it on, what, Monday? And how well did I do, Sean?
let's see, you guessed an even, what, three quarters of a million, right? You were guessing 750?
750,000 viewers.
All right. Average total live audience, TV plus streaming, up 12% from last year's championship finals, 753,000 viewers. You're off by 3,000 without going over.
I'm embarrassed.
To get you on the Price is Right, you could be the winner of the Showcase Showdown. Not bad.
I mean, I know how much a box of Cream Eats is. All right. The it's up, what, did you say 12%?
Up 12% from last year's championship finals. And that's the largest for the sport's final night in the last 4 years and fourth most watched on record.
Okay, 314,000 was the average viewing for the 3 days. And that's perfectly fine. I mean, that's about what, for example, First Take gets. And First Take, and they tout the success of First Take. So First Take with Stephen A. Smith gets about that same viewership. It's pretty good. I mean, pretty good. You know, like Van Pelt, for example, gets like 500,000 viewers or something like that. So that's really, really good. And the highest in 4 years. So it's interesting because I feel a great debate, and this debate will come up more next weekend than it will this weekend. But you'll hear a debate, is UConn women's basketball good for the sport? Which is the same debate you can have about Penn State wrestling now, right now. Is it good for the sport? And I am a firm believer that UConn women's basketball, along with Penn State wrestling, are both good for their respective sports. Why? Because it gets people watching the sport somehow, some way. It gets the sport recognition one way or the other. If women's basketball's national championship is being spread out all over the place, is it getting the same publicity unless UConn is in this run? Of all runs, I think UConn draws people to at least talk about something that's great about the sport, and I think they get more viewers to it and more recognition of it because of what they've done. I feel the same way about Penn State wrestling. I think Penn State wrestling's dominance has allowed them to have more viewers. Because people, and it's not just people want to see Penn State win and it's dominant. There are a bunch of people out there who want to see Penn State lose, too. Okay? It's just the way it goes. There's a segment of the population who wants to see UConn women's basketball. You know, tune in and say, maybe tonight's the night they lose. And you'll get the same thing just because you're the dominant team. That's all. Just because you're the top dog. That's what people are looking for. You're going to have people that have jumped on your bandwagon and that they're casual fans and they want to see you win and they think it's great because they love being associated with a winner to go along with all the lifelong fans that have always been there and so forth. And then you're going to have a segment of the population that's going to watch because they want to see you go down. You are done. It's Duke basketball. There's a segment of the country, they just jump up and down. They can't wait. Duke's going to play. Hey, they've become my team. Are you a Duke graduate? Are you kidding me? I couldn't get in, but they're my team. Why? Because, hey, I love Coach K. They win. And then there's an entire segment of population that watches the game or goes to the game because they are aching to see the big dog lose. So it does work both ways. Having a dominant team, in my opinion, is good for a sport. It's good for a sport. When Wisconsin beat Kentucky 2 years ago and Kentucky was undefeated, the ratings were incredible. Why? Because you had the big dog in Kentucky, you had Calipari, right? You know, some people think he's Darth Vader over there, those one-and-dones being beaten by Wisconsin. Frank Kaminsky, four-year player, graduates. Nigel Hayes is going to be a four-year player. Bronson Koenig is going to be a four-year player. That's what college basketball's about. And Wisconsin won the game. And they won it in dramatic fashion. I want to say they won it by five. I want to say 68-63, I think, something like that. Some number like that, right around there. Avenging the loss from the year before. So I think, for example, UConn women's basketball, great for the sport. Because what they do is something that attracts people to TVs, and they can hang their hat on their success. Penn State wrestling, great for the sport. Same thing. They can hang their hat on their success, and people get excited to see them. And there's also a segment of the population that just wants them to lose. But you know what they don't have? They don't have a genius behind iTunes. We do. Final half hour coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf, where the suit could be king. It's been a big suit day. It's
been a big suit week.
Why?
Oh, he's getting it done.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought something happened that I should have been aware of.
If I catch any more deets, I'll let you know. We'll keep you in the loop. Always do.
Well, no, I usually find out about the parties after they happen.
So. Well, wait. Yep. First Thursday, December. Yep, you're booked. Yeah.
Yeah. Every year.
Every Thursday. August to February.
Okay. All the time. Wednesday, good. Thursday, bad. Friday, really good.
Except on travel days.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, well. Okay. Great to have you with us. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And sports bozo of the day deals with the University of Washington basketball. Now, it is not that Michael Porter Jr. has been granted his release from his letter of intent. New coaching staff, Lorenzo Romar is no longer there. Porter was recently named the Prep Naismith Player of the Year, committed to Washington last summer, 2 months after Lorenzo Romar hired Michael Porter Sr. as an assistant coach. Romar was fired last week after 15 seasons. And, of course, Porter went with him. Porter's father, by the way, weighing an offer to become an assistant coach at Missouri under Conzo Martin. The Porters are from Missouri. Porter Sr. was an assistant women's coach at Missouri for 3 seasons before going to Washington. I always enjoy these on-the-surface package deals. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Dad can coach. Okay. Love it. It's the old Danny Manning, Ed Manning thing back with Kansas in the day. But that is the sports bozo of the day. Ah, yes. Tonight, 4 games on tap. 2 on TBS. 2 on, as Pat O'Brien would say, CBS. So tonight's games are as follows. It actually starts at 7:09 this evening, as Michigan rolls into action and gets things going at 7:09 on CBS this evening. So Michigan gets the first shot at this thing tonight as they play Oregon at 7:09. Then at 7:39, it's West Virginia and Gonzaga on TBS. Purdue takes on Kansas 9:39 on CBS. Xavier, Arizona at 10:09 on TBS. So the CBS doubleheader tonight, starting at 7:09, is Michigan, Oregon, and Purdue, Kansas. West Virginia, Gonzaga on TBS, followed by Xavier, Arizona on TBS. So that's the lineup for tonight. This might be the point where Oregon, finally, the Boucher injury catches up with them. At some point in the tournament, something like that does catch up to you. And that probably, this is, to me, is probably, this is about the time I've been expecting it might catch up to them. This is usually the round where I feel like elements catch up to you. That's why it's in this round. I'm thinking that the Boucher injury catches up with Oregon, and I'm thinking the point guard issue at Purdue catches up with them. There's just no way that I can picture Thompson playing 40 minutes nosed, as tough and hard-nosed as Thompson is. Look, he works hard, but that's Frank Mason III over there. He's just better. And I think that's, and I pointed this out during the season, I think it's a one element in this that is a problem for Purdue. There's going to be some game, sometime, somewhere in the tournament. I made the point during the regular season. I said, look, it's not going to show up in the regular season, but there's going to be some time, some point in the tournament. And I pointed out the Sweet 16 round where I thought it becomes an issue where they finally run into a team that athletically is just better and their point guard is just flat out better. And this is the game. West Virginia-Gonzaga. The advantage Gonzaga has in this against the West Virginia Press is that they've had 3 days to get ready for it. That's big. You can simulate it in practice. A lot of teams do the six-man defensive group where just, my goodness, there are extra guys all over the place out there. Well, you've got to play it that way. But this is where their point guard comes into play. Nigel Williams-Goss. This is, I mean, he's a really good ball handler, and their big guys are good ball handlers and passers. That makes a big difference. And again, can West Virginia hit shots? In the tournament, they've been hitting shots. What does hitting shots mean? Well, obviously, hitting shots means getting points, but it means more than that for a team like West Virginia. If you hit shots, guess what you're able to do? You're able to then set up your press. If you miss shots, you can't press. Missing shots leads to no press. Hitting shots equals press. And it's no coincidence that West Virginia is where they are today, averaging 82 points a game. And they average 82 points a game, which has made their defense even better because hitting shots, I don't care if it's a free throw or whether it's from the field, that allows you to set up your press. You miss shots, there's no press. Can't press if you miss shots. Can't. So there you are. I mean, and then the nightcap, I really like Arizona. Really do. I think Xavier's good. I think Arizona's really good. Markkanen's really, really good.
Yeah, I'll admit, you're the one that connected me to Arizona close to a month ago. And boy,
yeah.
I mean, but their star player is almost, he's already getting comparisons to Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, Markkanen? Yeah, Markkanen. Yeah. I think Markkanen after 1 year's gone. I mean, this guy's almost 50% from the field, 80-plus percent free throw shooter, 16 points a game. Now, Blewett, the guard for Xavier, is really good. I mean, really. I mean, let's not take anything away from what Xavier brings to the table. But the better team, to me, is Arizona. And I think the biggest difference in Arizona is when Trier finally got back into, was allowed to play. Remember, he got in that car accident last summer. And when he got into that car accident last summer, they gave him something. I don't know if it was for pain, whatever it was. But it turned out that he tested positive for a PED. Well, he wasn't allowed to play until the PED was completely out of his system. Well, now he's back and he is playing. Now, I tell you, Chance Comanche, really, really good. Alonzo Trier, really good. Markkanen, good. And the glue guy for this team, you know, you talk about Trier, you talk about Markkanen, and, you know, Alkins is really good, Comanche's really good, but the glue guy for this team is Kadeem Allen, the senior. Good player. 10 points, 4 boards, 3 assists a game. He is the glue guy for that team. No question. I like Arizona. I like Arizona a lot. I picked them to win the region anyway. So why turn around now? I'm not going to turn around now. And they've got Xavier tonight. Gonzaga will have its hands full with West Virginia this evening. There's no question about that. But keep in mind, too, when you're looking at Gonzaga, the transfers, and one of them is Nigel Williams-Goss. I mean, he's a transfer from Cal. And he's a really good ball handler. And then Williams is a really good ball handler. In the post, Karnowski is a really good ball handler. In the open floor, he's not. So you're going to have to work around that a little bit. Michigan, what's the biggest difference for Michigan now compared? Now, I've seen Michigan obviously twice in person this year. What's the biggest difference in what I saw in the Michigan basketball team I saw 2 weeks ago against Illinois and the one I saw in January against Penn State? Defensively, they're exponentially better. Penn State, when they played Michigan back in January, could get anywhere they wanted whenever they wanted on the floor. If he had not gotten in foul trouble, Lamar Stevens would have had 30. They could not. There's no way they could stop him. Obviously, Derek Walton's playing really, really well. Zach Urban playing really, really well. The two seniors. But Mo Wagner has come on and has really played well, and their defense is just better now. This is a Michigan team that has no trouble scoring. None. There is no trouble for Michigan scoring. That is not an issue at all. Their issue has always been, can we defend enough? And they gave one the impression for the first 3 months of the season that defense was something that you were forced to do under the rules until you were able to go back on offense again. Now they understand that playing really good defense translates into really great performances. And their defense has been good. I think Rockman, the Allentown kid, who's a good but not great basketball player. I mean, Rockman's a good player, he's not a great player. But I'll tell you, he is actually a very good defender. Good defender, good rebounder. Offensively, he's okay. But he can create some offense with his defense. He probably is the best perimeter defender that they have. Even Duncan Robinson's become a little bit better defender, and he's really, that was never really his strong suit. Purdue's got Kansas tonight. Swanigan and Haas will be tough inside for Lucas and those guys for Kansas. But Frank Mason III is a huge checkmark running the show at point guard against P.J. Thompson. You may see more of Purdue running their offense through Dakota Mathias tonight as a point forward, either at the high post or the wing. Watch for 31 high post and wing where they can run the offense through them. And it's going to be important for Purdue to be a good three-point shooting team tonight to loosen up the Kansas defense for Swanigan and then eventually Haas. This is not a great matchup for Haas because Haas is strong, powerful, good inside game, but not quick enough defensively. Swanigan's quick enough everywhere, but here's Swanigan's weakness. And again, this came out in the Penn State game. Every time Lamar Stevens pulled him away from the basket, which he did often, Swanigan could not handle Stevens off the dribble. Just could not, over and over. And if you've noticed, have you noticed how many teams have now started to do a couple things the way Penn State did? Because at the Big Ten tournament, a couple people said, when it came to Purdue, they said, a couple of our coaches said, we've been watching the Penn State thing. Interesting. Because Swanigan, great in so many areas. But that really, and there were a lot of scouts at the Jordan Center that night. And it did expose one part of his game that is not a strength. He's strong in so many areas. Swanigan, excellent back-to-the-basket player. Really good facing up of the basket. And is an excellent passer out of the post. He has really good vision and is extremely unselfish player. And something that, you know, we always talk about, hey, like your defense travels. Well, from level to level, I'll tell you what always works for any basketball player. From high school to college to the pros, if you can rebound, you can rebound at any level. Swanigan can rebound. They're going to need all of that tonight. I just think tonight's the night where the point guard thing catches up with them. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street. Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Now, there's going to be an interesting side note to tomorrow's games, and that is Kentucky playing UCLA. Now, it's a great game on the surface. It's the location of the game. The location of the game is the FedEx Forum in Memphis. Memphis fans have not forgiven John Calipari for leaving for the Kentucky job. Never have. And at Memphis, I think his record at Memphis was like 137-14 or something like that. But Donnie Mars, a lifelong Memphis fan, says that Calipari leaving ruined everything there. He says, quote, "I would want the NCAA to bust Cal. He ruined my life." Now, to be clear, Mars did say this with a smile on his face at the time. they said he's actually a pretty funny guy who just was trying to be funny, but they said the sentiment in Memphis is very real about how they feel about him taking the Kentucky job and leaving Memphis. Now, this also coincided with the Derrick Rose investigation, thus let's leave town before the sheriff catches up. Oh, man. It'll be sold out just like the old days that Cal's used to coaching there. It'll be sold out, 18,000 plus, home of the Grizzlies. But it's the location of the game. that is interesting because it does bring Cal back to Memphis to be completely overshadowed by somebody who's not playing in the game, LeVar Kardashian. You like that, don't you?
Oh, that's the highlight of the week. Love that nickname. Yeah. Well, I guess Kentucky's the home team tomorrow night, so I guess Cal would be in the exact same locker room.
Well, I don't think they're giving him Memphis's locker room. But seriously, I doubt they do not give. I'll give you an example. When we go to the United Center in Chicago, or we go to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, or just now in D.C., I can guarantee you in no uncertain words that the Bulls, Blackhawks, Wizards, Capitals, and Pacers locker rooms are not in use for the teams playing in the tournament. Okay, they are not.
I got me thinking of the Pinstripe Bowl a couple of years ago when the football team was able to be in the same locker room shared with the Yankees. What a cool experience that had.
They got the Yankees clubhouse. But see, it's different in something like that because that's all they have. Now, they may have built a separate locker room or locker rooms for the MLS. Because they do play at Yankee Stadium now. But at that time, they didn't have that. So Boston College got the visiting clubhouse, and Penn State got the, as the home team, got the Yankees clubhouse. It drove my brother nuts that I was allowed to go in there. He kind of felt like I defiled the place. But I can guarantee you, I walked by the Wizards locker room and the Capitals. I can assure you, we weren't allowed in. So I don't think Memphis is giving up its locker room, nor are the Grizzlies. Something tells me that the four teams get the auxiliary locker rooms.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.